Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ruth. Last time we were together, we began chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. And that's where we want to continue today. I want us to read down together verses 7 through 14 and look at the promise. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered her feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it be known that a woman came in to the floor. Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." So we hear the we see the promise here in verses 7 through 14 of the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Now the reason Boaz stays the night at the threshing floor is to protect the harvest from thieves. The narrative that we just read suggests nothing indecent. This Oriental custom is completely proper. Boaz makes it clear in verse 11 that Ruth is a virtuous woman, which packs a lot of weight, because she is the only woman in the Bible of whom that is said. Let's turn to Proverbs at this time. Chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. The Word of God says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." So here is Ruth, and that's how Boaz refers to her, as a virtuous woman. He recognizes the fact that she is a virtuous woman, and that she is more valuable, more precious than the price, far above the price of rubies. What a testimony, amen? And Boaz notes in verse 10 that Ruth wasn't looking for the young and beautiful. He said in verse 10, "Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." So she wasn't looking for the young and the beautiful. And again, as we know that Boaz is a type or picture of Christ here, the same was said of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 2, In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 2, the word of God has this to say, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." Now this is a reference in the context it's speaking about Christ. "As a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness," amen, meaning good to look upon, amen, beautiful to look upon, "and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire of him." So the word of God is speaking about Christ, that when he came, he wasn't going to be anything beautiful to look upon or behold. He was, you know, going to be ordinary, amen, to look upon. And I think that was on purpose, because a lot of times the young and the beautiful, we know that today, especially in our society, so much is put on youth and beauty and so forth and so on, and that attracts people. So in some ways, when Jesus came, amen, it says he wasn't beautiful to behold. He was not comely, amen. He wasn't, you know, in other words, it was so that he wouldn't attract people by his looks. Amen. That was on purpose. Now, Boaz calms Ruth and claims in her, amen. Look at in verse 11. He calms it. "And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." So not only, as we see that she's referred to a virtuous woman, not only does Boaz know it, but all the city, amen, knows that she is a virtuous woman. Again, what a wonderful testimony. But here we see that Boaz calms her. He says, "Fear not," and he claims her here in verse 11. Again, we go back and forth with Boaz as a picture and type of Christ. And Jesus said about those that come to him, he claims. Looking in the Gospel of John with me, chapter 6. We'll come back to Ruth in just a moment. But notice what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, in verse 37. John, Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse 37. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Amen. What a calming thing. What a great promise. If you come to Christ, he's not going to cast you out. He's going to claim you for his own. Just as Boaz calmed Ruth here and claimed her, amen. Now, Boaz was aware of a complication that Ruth and Naomi apparently knew nothing about. Namely, there is a closer relative who is obliged to redeem Ruth. Now, the promise of marriage is conditional on the response of the nearer kinsman. So, Boaz's claim to marry Ruth is conditional on whether the nearer kinsman will claim Ruth. But he does not make the oath. Amen. But he does make the oath that if the man will not redeem Ruth, then as the Lord liveth, he will. Amen. And this term, "as the Lord liveth," occurs no less than 30 times in the Old Testament. And it's one of the strongest oaths that a man could make. And the reason for that is, and why is that? Well, we look, for example, in Revelation chapter 1. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 with me. In verse number 18. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And then in verse chapter 4 of Revelation, in verse 9, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And that's what we'll see in these verses. In Revelation, it talks about the Lord living forever and ever. Amen. And the reason that it's one of the strongest oaths that a man can make, as the Lord liveth, it's because there's no doubt that he will keep his promise, because the oath is based on the Lord living, and he is eternal. He's always existed, and he always will exist. Amen. Now, as we return to Ruth chapter 3 and verse 14, we see that Boaz is careful to guard Ruth's virtue. In verse 14, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came in to the floor. Amen. So he is guarding her virtue, so no one would think that they did anything improper. Amen. And of course, the Bible instructs us in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians with me for a moment, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Just the appearance of evil, to abstain from it. Amen? That's what we as Christians are commanded to do. Even though the thing may not be evil that we want to do, just the appearance of it may be evil, then we're to abstain from it. Amen? And so that's why is exactly what Boaz was doing, guarding Ruth's virtue. Amen? So wouldn't it appear that even any appearance of them doing evil, he guarded against that. Now, as we go back to Ruth chapter 3, we want to look at the final point 3. As we began, we looked at the plan, amen, here in Ruth, and now the promise was the second point. The third point is the provision. And we find the provision in verses 15 through 18, the remainder of the verses in chapter 3. So let's go and read down from 15, verses 15 through 18, and Ruth chapter 3 together. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. So we see that Boaz gives Ruth, amen, 60 pounds of barley. to take to Naomi. And boy, this speaks volumes, does it not? Again, Boaz is a picture or type of Christ. And we see that Ruth was just at his feet. And what we can see from this is if we live, my friend, at the feet of Jesus, he will make sure we have plenty of blessings to take to others. Not only to provide for us, but also so we can bless others. And then we see that Naomi understands that Boaz will not rest until the situation is resolved. You know, it's the same with Jesus. He did not rest until he finished the work that the Father sent him to do. And all through the Gospel of John, that's what Jesus would say, that he came to fulfill, amen, the work that his Father had sent him to do. Amen. That's why they couldn't take him. Many times we see that the authorities came and they wanted to take Jesus, but it wasn't time yet. Because he had to finish the work that his Father had sent him to this earth to do. And of course, that was culminated at the crucifixion and then the resurrection, amen, and then finally the ascension to be seated at the right hand of the Father. This day, as the scripture says, he ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. But I want us to look at a couple of references in the Gospel of John. First one is in John chapter 4, in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, he's speaking to his disciples as they have come back from getting some food as he's dealt with the woman at the well. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. Because they were saying, here, eat, Master. You know, have something to eat. And he said, I have something more important. My food, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what I'm here to do, amen. And to finish that, amen. Let's look at one more reference in John chapter 5, in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hereto, and I work. So we see Boaz was not going to rest until the situation was resolved, until Ruth was redeemed. Amen. Just as Christ, amen, came and finished the work. He wasn't going to stop until he finished the work, finished the job that his Father had sent him to do on this earth. And what a great way for the Lord to end the chapter. Amen. He's the originator of suspense. We are the espoused bride to Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're just waiting now to find out when the wedding date is going to be. Amen. The same way with Ruth. She's just waiting around for when the wedding date is going to be. We have received the gifts. Amen. Have we not? The bridal shower is over. Amen. And Jesus Christ will not rest until it is finished, until he is married to his bride, the church, the body of Christ. So with that, we conclude chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. We have some time left here, and so we're going to get right into chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. And we'll begin in chapter 4. Amen. And the first thing is we want to see, the first point we want to look at is the gate. In chapter 4 is the gate. So let's turn together to Ruth chapter 4, if you would, and read the first two verses of Ruth chapter 4 together. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. Now, the gate in the Bible was a place of decision making for the tribes and the cities of Israel. Let's look at some references that speak about that. First, we want to go to Genesis chapter 23. So we see that this whole business of redeeming Ruth has taken place at the official business is going to take place here at the gate of the city. And as we, let's go to Genesis chapter 23. In beginning in verse 10. Genesis 23, beginning in verse 10. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even all that went in and at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that it is therein I give it thee, in the presence of the sons of my people, give it thee, bury thy dead. And Abram bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And of course, that's exactly what Abraham did. Amen. Is he bought that property? Amen. Burial plot there at that cave. Amen. But the thing we want to see, this decision was made at the gate of the city. Another reference in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32 with me, in verse number 26. Exodus 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood, here it is, in the gate of the camp, and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. And of course, Moses had been away up on the mount talking with the Lord. The Lord had given him the tablets with the Ten Commandments. And he hears noise going on. And of course, the children of Israel had thought that Moses wasn't coming back. Amen. And Moses heard the noise of war, and what had happened, they had gotten Aaron to make them a golden calf, and they started worshiping that idol and saying it was their god, and just running around in the camp and dancing and doing all kinds of ungodly things. And a decision had to be made. He stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Come over to me. Amen. So we see then the gate in the Bible was a place of decision making. Now, it was also a place where decisions were made concerning punishment for violations of the law and other such things of a family matter. Let's look at some references dealing with that. Look in the book of Deuteronomy with me. Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, look at in verses 18 and 19. That they teach you not to do, chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. You never see that happen today, amen? We've got a lot of rebellious children running around. That's the times we live in, a rebellious time where people rebelling against authority, amen? But here is a situation. If they had a rebellious child and wouldn't obey his parents, they were to bring him to the gate, to the elders of the city. Looking in Deuteronomy chapter 22, beginning in verse 15, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. So we see they brought things dealing with family matters to the gate. Amen. Proof of a woman's virginity was to be brought to the elders if there was any question of that, to show proof that yes, indeed, that she was a virgin. Now, also, often the judges ruled from the gate. Look at in First Samuel with me, chapter 4. We have a reference to Eli there. 1 Samuel chapter 4 in verses 15 through 18. 1 Samuel 4, verse 15. Now Eli was 90 and 80 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army, and said, what is there done, my son? And the messengers answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. And his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. So we see then that Eli judged from the gate. Well, we're going to stop there. Time is running out for us today on the pastor's study. But when we come together again on the pastor's study, we're going to finish this last chapter, time permitting, of Ruth chapter 4 when we come back the next time on the pastor's study. But it's been a real blessing being with you today. And I want to thank those that have joined me for the pastor's study today. And I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer. And this is Brother Gino saying good day and God bless.